welcome to another episode of Where Was The Shout. I'm Mark Carlo, joined by Zachary Stevenson.
Hello.
And Rob Brunsman.
Yes.
The Dream Team.
Yes.
Yes.
I like it. Yes!
I thought there's something different.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember the Dream Team? Do you ever watch the Dream Team? Do you remember that? On Sky One?
The fake football team.
Yeah.
I purposely avoided that one.
Carl Fletcher.
That's brilliant. Bring it back.
The extent of my artificial or... fake football teams is Roy the Rovers, I think.
Roy the Rovers, what's that? What's
Melchester Rovers, Roy Race. Oh, yeah, you know, the comic?
Of course.
Sorry, yeah, I'm getting confused. Yeah. And also the son had a, what is it, what they were called?
Striker.
That's dreadful.
That's really bad.
That chairman with the bald head.
He went computerised for a while, didn't it? Do you remember it was like 3D? Yeah.
Oh, I think I'll stop reading it.
But the good joke about, I mean, I'll give him the punchline away, Roy the Rovers, like, some guys in the pub, they bring out like a football teaser. Who scored a double hat trick in the FA Cup final? And they're like, what? That's never happened. And Roy the Rover is 1960.
That's brilliant. Right, so I suppose it's to chat football then. And Sepp Blatter, it's happened. It's only happened.
Yeah. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah indeed, yeah. I mean, I'm really happy.
You haven't stopped smiling since
I haven't stopped smiling. Not just because of Sepp Blatter, I'm just a jovial kind of guy
Actually, loads has happened with it since we last spoke, because he actually got voted back in on Friday.
Which we said was going to happen.
And was lauding it, wasn't he? He was giving it a massive large that he is back in.
So how long was he in for until we got...
About three days.
So something's happened in that time, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's someone from UEFA.
From the FBI, isn't it? You're next, lad.
It's not Michel Platini saying to him, you know, I think it's time to go. I think that's been said to him a million times over the last
and he's never listened.
I think it's the FBI this time have got something on
him. I wouldn't have said to him, look, here's A, B and C, this is what we've got on you, and he's probably thought, I've got to go. I can't. And he's probably to keep it hoping that it's not going to come out, but I think it still will.
I think, basically... what I find very strange is the difference of opinion in football about Blatter. Like, Platini still thinks he's an honourable guy and that he's just, you know, he's just got to go. Other people like Greg Dyke are just holding back from calling him an absolute criminal. I was going to say something like criminal or totally corrupt, because they probably don't want to be sued, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you know, like, you see pictures of him standing next to this rich Arab oil billionaire and you think, okay, I mean, it doesn't strike to me as he's into the globalization sport. It just smacks the backhanders. It's like he's not there with young guys from impoverished areas in the Middle East, you know, watching them kick a ball about some, you know, he's with the oil barons. Is that a coincidence that there's all this corruption going around?
The thing is, the way he's disguised it is that FIFA has given a lot of money to a lot of these African countries, and it's been well spent. You know, it's fantastic. But, I mean, there's been backhanders going on as well to the leaders of their FAs. And that's what's been happening. He's disguised it.
Yeah.
You know, this good stuff that FIFA has done. You know, and that's how he's got away with it.
I read a very interesting article on the BBC website about... the £10 million amount that was given to back to the South African and they're talking about the African diaspora, that the money was to raise money for the Caribbean, which conveniently Jack Warner is the head of. I mean, that man, like, he could just easily be wearing a t-shirt saying I am corrupt on it.
he's unbelievable, isn't he? And I saw him as well, I was reading on the way here actually that the FBI have released, you know, on their website, the most wanted, and there's all the FIFA members are on like the FBI's most wanted list. So I think they're in some serious trouble.
It's the best thing the Yanks have ever done in the history.
It's amazing. I know.
God bless America.
Indeed. Yeah.
The article was basically that I read. I'll have to give you the link, and you can put the link up with the. But it talks about the reason that the FBI got involved is because apparently any financial transactions that take place in US soil. They will stringently investigate any corruption. They say if corruption comes to our soil, we're going to deal with it. Of course, there is the element of, you know, USA didn't get the World Cup, and Qatar,
a
Middle Eastern
that,
country did. So, conspiracy theorists will have a field day with that one. But I think, you know, I mean, straight away. We all knew there was something fishy about Qatar.
No, years ago, it's 4 years ago they got there. I mean, remember.
Russia, you could at least can argue Russia is a country with a good footballing history.
Yeah.
Big country, they never hosted the World Cup, and on the footballing basis, they would deserve it. Okay, they've got their other political issues, which maybe, but what, since when have we not done World Cups in countries with dodgy political?
Yeah, that's
reasons,
not, I
but
think that's
Qatar, reason. Everything about it stinks. Everything about it. And then after the decision to do it, they suddenly want to move it to the winter. You know, it's like
yeah, it just
they applied
worse.
For it in the base of a winter.
Do you think
summer
this is going to be there, a chance tape. Of a revote for this World Cup?
I think it's inevitable.
Do you think, Rob? Because you're on the fence.
I think what will probably happen is, you know, a new leader will come in, but he will say, "What's done is done."
Mm.
We'll go ahead with Qatar and Russia because, you know, they've already started putting money into it and whatever. I think that's what will probably happen. It would be wonderful if there was a revote. That would be just amazing.
Yeah, that would be ideal, wouldn't it? But
I mean,
I'd be very surprised if Russia doesn't go ahead.
I'd be astonished if Russia doesn't go ahead. I don't see any real legitimate reasons for it, apart from, I mean, you know, their stance on homosexuality, which is extremely questionable, and I really hate that.
Yeah.
But does it really, should it really hinder a sporting event taking place in that country? I mean, Qatar's, I mean, I'm pretty sure homosexuality is legal in Qatar, you know. I mean, and Russia's invasion of Ukraine, sort of that dodgy kind of situation.
So
shooting down planes.
Shooting down planes.
The thing with Qatar as well is that hundreds of people have actually died building those stadiums.
Thousands. It's already 1,200.
You are joking.
And they reckon that by the time of the World Cup, it could almost hit 10,000 people dying.
Right, that's just not on. That's one reason on its own why that should not go ahead.
Absolutely.
Why is it just the general health and safety of the...
They bring in poor workers from Bengali workers apparently, and they basically treat them as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And if they die, it's like breaking some bricks to them, the importance of it, you know. I mean, the human rights record is abysmal, and
they keep them there and won't even let them leave. If they want to. It's that kind of thing. Going
I mean, you see, the thing is, if it's human rights in a country, and I wouldn't be in favour of taking away a sporting event from a country where human rights are in question, perhaps. I mean, I'm not saying exclusively.
Yeah.
But when the human rights are directly connected to the event, then you've got to say no, lads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when people are actually dying for this World Cup, it's ridiculous. Well, I think it'll go to a revote. I really do. I'd love to see it. I really think it will.
Qatar could do, yeah.
There's a lot more to come out of this, isn't there? This is just the beginning for FIFA at the moment.
I mean, as regards Blatter, when I heard it straight away, I instantly felt a modicum of respect for him. I thought, well, you know, at least he's doing the right thing, but I'm sure he's been said, look, jump or you're going
to
be pushed, you know.
He's probably been paid.
Knowing him, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Warren has probably sent him a PayPal payment of £10 million to say, look, for all our sakes, just, you know.
But Thanks for coming. One personal
sad aspect of it, I'm now going to have to get rid of my Sackset Blatter group on Facebook, aren't I?
Yeah.
I got 12,000.
What about reinstate Set Blatter?
Reinstate
I like that last week. It's been picking back. Up.
It was,
it's been getting a bit
got
of
a couple, 200 new likes in one day, which was very exciting.
Oh, yeah, talking about likes.
The podcast on there as well.
I could still do it. Look, now we've sorted out that, let's talk about some more jovial things.
Chaps, Jack Wilshere has been done. I don't understand really what's happened, but
has he been done though? Has he actually been?
I think he's had to pay a fine.
The FA?
I believe it's through the FA. Because I know Arsenal have done him over.
We should get our facts right in this, shouldn't we? You know?
Yeah, we probably should know. But yeah, he's been charged with misconduct, definitely.
Right.
But I know that's a fact. But he's. I know he's been obviously given a bit of his knuckles wrapped as well by Arsenal. What did he do? Did he say something on a microphone?
You know, typically sterilized. The papers wouldn't report what he actually said. But he apparently used the F word, and I think he even used the C word in relation to anti-Tottenham chant.
Disgusting.
Right? He said fucking and he said cunt. But
that's you.
I mean, it is.
Shit.
It's a real shame that they won't get rid of the really bad things like players diving, players' ridiculous greed, but they're coming down and sterilise the thing over somebody showing a bit of passion about their own club.
Against Tottenham as well. I'm all for that.
Yeah, it stokes up. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it builds up the excitement when they play each other. I don't know. It's just I think it adds something to the game. Shows his real feelings.
If what he said was too inflammatory, that it could stoke up more violent reaction between fans, then maybe. But. I mean, at the end of the day, the guys just won the FA Cup, right? I mean, big deal. But anyway, I mean, look, He's a human being. He shouted something passionately at the moment, and I think it's ridiculous. Just tell him, actually, look, be careful, you know.
Did he actually say anything? Because what I watched, on, I just saw a little clip, and he was just sort of...
He was chanting.
Chanting the start, the chant, and then leaving the rest to the crowd.
Yeah, and I think I know. It's about Tottenham, isn't it? He just called them shit, I think. I don't know.
It's all a bit ridiculous.
Well, who cares?
I mean, even Tottenham fans don't think we're complaining about it. It's just football banter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. That's what it's all about.
If this is the attack to Tottenham fans, it is a bit.
There is definitely a slightly juvenile aspect to it, but I just think what. Does it really require censoring? You know, I mean, it wasn't done, you know, in an official club interview. It was the top of the bloody boss, you know.
But I remember earlier this season as well when Walcott got in trouble, and he had quite a serious injury.
Last season, wasn't it?
And when he was getting taken off and it was at Spurs,
and he was doing,
and he went 2-0 or something, and he got done for that. Yeah. And I feel that is ridiculous.
It is. I just find it astonishing. I mean, to be on one hand, you know me. I'm not really much of the mollycoddling of footballers, but the amount of abuse they get from the fans, the things that they get said to them, and they can't even go
mainly from
make,
us,
make I mean. The fingers 2-0. It's like I think that's one issue where I'm on the player's side, really. It's like, God, it's supposed to be, we're supposed to show passion. I mean, it's like the whole prawn sandwich brigade. It's like we want people to show in any way they can they actually care about what they're doing.
They're
getting paid enough for it, you know.
Well, that's the thing as well. They can't even say anything in the press anymore. It's got to be ridiculous, isn't it?
But what do the FA think are going to happen because of that? They think Spurs and Arsenal next year are going to have a massive riot because of what Jack Wilshere did.
Jack Wilshere's running around Tottenham trying to set it alight.
Because they had such a cordial relationship before that, didn't they?
It's mental. I don't understand it. It's kind of ruining... I can't stand now as well. I was just saying about, you know, like post-match interviews when they maybe say something a bit passionate about.
And then they get the same bloody thing.
What happened to freedom of speech, you know? I mean, it's not freedom of speech unless you say something you don't like. It's just,
that's ridiculous.
You know? And I mean, I don't know. And as I said at the start, like, why are they so overzealous about this and they won't sort out the other problems like diving and things that are actually cheating? And those can get clubs relegated. They can stop clubs getting the Champions League, really. Yeah. I know they say it balances out over the course of a season. What's the answer? Does everybody have to cheat to stay in touch, you know?
Yeah.
If a team tries to be honest and not cheat, they're going to fall by the wayside. So now we all have to cheat. Yeah. So sort that out instead of complaining about a guy who shows a bit of passion for his club.
We agree on that.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think it's gone a bit too far, isn't it, now? And I don't really know what the outcome of the Wilshere thing is going to be then. I mean, I'd say we need to look into it, but...
We can just turn the Sackset Blatter Facebook group into Protect Jack Wilshere.
Protect Jack Wilshere.
Surely the worst that they got, you know, he'll be fined a couple of grand or something.
Yeah. You can always go home and smoke a box of Marlboros, can't you?
They can't ban him for, like, 3 games or something ridiculous.
I know he's been charged for misconduct, it's got to be only a fine.
I mean, that is very true. If they start banning him, I mean, that affects what happens on the pitch, which it's nothing to do with that. That's not right, you know? Mind you, he might be off to or is it Ramsey or Wilshere that's linked to Barcelona?
I think it's Ramsey.
Some
sick note Wilshere.
Yes, that's true.
He'd break his leg on the flight. On the way.
It's got to be Ramsey. I just saw the headline there the other day. One of the Arsenal midfielders, and I couldn't remember which one it was because
We're talking of Arsenal. I think they're going to obviously they just won the FA Cup. They're talking about next season, aren't they? Pushing for the
winning
title.
The European Cup Winners' Cup.
Those are the days.
Do you think they win? They've got a chance at the Premier League next year.
They've got a chance, but they definitely need a world-class centre-forward. Giroud's a very good player. Welbeck does a great job. But, you know, you need somebody that's actually really going to score them 20-odd goals and do some proper damage.
We were talking about earlier about Benteke, weren't we?
He's a good option.
I think it would help. As you pointed out in the previous show, that their early season problems with not having a defensive midfielder, at least a good defensive midfielder. I mean, if they're winning games 1-0... You know, and the midfielder scoring 15-20 goals, maybe they don't need a really prolific centre forward.
I just saw comparing them to the other sides, well, Manchester City and Chelsea, that have world class forwards. Aguero at Man City, and obviously Costa at Chelsea. And I think that they need somebody of that level, just comparing them to those sides.
Yeah, that's where they've fallen flat, isn't it? I mean, I know Sanchez is obviously is world class,
and also they probably do need a top class centre half as well.
Yeah,
Coughlin's done an excellent job in defensive midfield, but maybe someone who's better standard.
Well, I was quite surprised they didn't go for Reid or for us because he's been so good for us.
Reid's been brilliant.
I think the eternal problem with Arsenal is that every year they get close, and then the following season something goes wrong, and they just injury crisis or whatever, and they have a period where they're just awful, and then they become brilliant, and then they can become awful again. But
yeah, they are. Yeah,
I think they're emotionally fragile. Arsenal, do you know what I mean? I think that's one of the problems, and I think it's strange for a club that's got Wenger in charge, because he doesn't seem to be emotionally fragile, but his teams, they tend to buckle under stress.
They have done in recent times. I think these two cup wins now back to back would have helped them with that.
Definitely, yeah, they should have.
I mean, the cup wins, and I don't want to take too much away from the FA Cup, but the previous winners of the FA Cup for Arsenal were Wigan. I mean, it's not the same competition that it used to be.
Mm. So, yeah, but you say that before, in the years before that were won by big sides for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it could have been City that year
and
as well.
And a big City, which was amazing. But yeah,
I know what you mean. It has been devalued.
But then, to be honest, I mean, I only saw the highlights of the FA Cup final, and God, Villa were awful.
I don't know what Villa were trying to do, to be honest.
He weren't wearing his jacket, was he? A bomber jacket, that's what done it.
Tactics team
balls it up.
I mean, I was at the same wedding that you were at, Mark, and I didn't get a chance to look at the highlights, but by all accounts, it could have been more than four.
I watched, it's easy to say in hindsight what, you know, your tactics should be, but I've just thought Villa played right into their hands. They didn't have a go at them. Yeah. They didn't read defending numbers properly either. So.
Yeah, and if you're going to beat Arsenal, you really got to attack them, haven't you?
They needed Arsenal to all underperform and them to all play to their top level, really, to win, didn't they?
I think you can frustrate Arsenal as well. I think you can. Mm. It's not great for a final, but you can sit deep.
You can bully them a bit.
They're not deep against them because they had Walcott, who was up front, and you know what's his main asset? It's his pace.
Yeah.
So if you're denying the pace over the top, he's not going to hurt you in
the air. What minute did the first goal go in again?
I don't know, it must have been about 25 minutes, was
roughly.
It?
Yeah, roughly.
I mean, they're all over them from the first minute.
Yeah, they were. I don't think the goal was through straight away, but it was all Arsenal.
I think it's a good point you make. It's any club, it's very difficult to go toe to toe with Arsenal because, you know, they're quick on the break, they've got very nifty players, and they'll punish you if you try to do that. But like,
there was no plan for Villa.
Yeah,
nothing going
teams
on.
Teams that try to frustrate them can often succeed.
That's
right.
Yeah. Hit them on the break. Yeah. They've got those type of players, Villa. They had things off. Yeah,
I mean,
Bonsahor's on the bench, Benteke, but they did nothing, to be honest.
No, they were poor.
What they deserved.
I'll tell you, I was saying earlier, I tip them to go down next year, Villa. I really think they're going to struggle.
I'd be surprised. I mean, I know that, you know, they were thumped in the final, but I think Tim Sherwood, God bless him, seems to have steadied the ship a little bit there. I mean, he pulled him out of the relegation zone, and he's got a little bit of confidence going. Getting to the cup final, you know, maybe I think they'll be okay next season, but depends, just about, you know.
Depends what happens to Benteke.
That's true as well. And even Grealish, maybe, you know, I mean, he could be going as well. I mean,
yeah, it's going to be hard to keep them. Yeah, they are going to struggle to keep them, I think.
But on another note, well, actually, sort of related to it, I think it's very nice that because of Arsenal winning the title, or the title, Freudian
good
slip. Because of Arsenal in the FA Cup, that now Southampton are going to be in Europe, which I think is a nice little reward. Because I think for a club like them, they'll really appreciate it. They don't get into Europe very often.
And also, it would have been quite a crime if West Ham got into Europe like we have and Southampton didn't.
That's probably you deserve. Top of the Fair Play League, what are you on about?
We worked hard at that.
I find it funny when people say they qualified.
I know, yeah.
You didn't qualify, guys, did you?
You didn't really qualify, you just didn't get booked a lot, yeah.
Bonus was not playing Kevin Nolan VAR after season.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely, and Rafael Morrison.
Yeah. Okay, so I've heard today as well, McLaren, well, it looks pretty set now. He's going to Newcastle to take over from, is it Carver got sacked, didn't he?
I wonder if his first interview is going to be in a dodgy Geordie accent.
Oh, God.
That'd be fantastic.
Who's he in 20, was it?
Yeah, in Holland.
We've some very good players. Champions League. Yeah, for sure.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? I'd love. Oh, please let him.
They can't take him seriously ever again after that.
Yeah,
really, can
absolutely.
You?
Oh,
absolutely.
The guy is a bit of a knob, though, isn't he, McLaren? I mean, to be fair, apparently he's such a good coach and very, very clever, tactically very well.
To be honest with you, I thought he treated really badly by Derby. He had playing brilliant football
absolutely.
This season. He got
shocking.
Some really good players in there, really good young players. Had Tom Ince got in on loan. Had that Jordan Ibe from Liverpool.
I actually really rate Hendrick as well.
The big guy up front, I can't remember his name now, and that little Will Hughes in midfield. So they're a really good little side, and they're top with about 3 months to go, it sort of fell away a little bit.
I think they got a couple of injuries.
A couple of injuries up front.
Just knackered. Yeah. And he said that, you know, that was the problem.
And in a championship, that can happen really easily.
Mm. Really so, quickly, because they're on your tail so
quickly.
Yeah,
and you play basically 2 games a week. So once you've lost, if you've lost a player for, say, a month, a couple of good players, that's a massive lot of games.
Yes, it is. And you've got to remember, this time last year, they were the better side in the playoff final against Queen's Park Rangers.
Mm.
And Rangers ended up winning it and going to the Premier League. That could easily have been Derby.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he's chairman of sacking these managers, you know, they're thereabouts, you can't win it every year.
Well, it shows you how good he is.
Luck comes into it as well. He's the best man for the job, and they've got rid of him.
And they've sacked him, and then the Premier League club's coming to pick him up. So it shows you that you've made it, what they think.
It's mind-boggling, but it's all like, I don't know, it's all like swings and roundabouts, and sort of it's not even... it just doesn't make any sense anymore. You know, as you say, the margins for success and failure just seem to be non-existent now. There's no barriers. There's no security level where you can say, well, okay, we've done this, I'm going to be safe. Okay, we didn't get the championship, we didn't get into the playoffs, but we didn't finish near the relegation zone.
We can still mount a good push next season. Yeah. I mean, they're in a good position to do so. It is bizarre, I think, that he got sacked. I was quite surprised he did. But
anyway, Newcastle, I mean... Yeah. I just think it's the most poisoned chalice in domestic football, isn't it? They just don't like any of their managers, no matter what.
And it's the career ender, the Newcastle job. Yeah. It literally destroys careers.
Ruud Gullit,
never worked really again.
Alan Shearer. I'll never manage again.
When they get one of their own, John Carver, and to manage the side, it's just gone tits up.
He'll never get a job now. He's going to touch him.
So we'll just go back to coaching, I guess.
He's
best coach in the world.
That's true. Yeah, it might be a Real Madrid. Take over. Benitez next week.
Yeah, it's bizarre what goes on in that club. It really is. Yeah.
But I think I can see McLaren doing okay with him. Actually, I think he's quite pragmatic, isn't he?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he doesn't.
And rains a lot up there, so he's got his old Broly. He'll like that. Stand on the touchline, looking like a dick. Wouldn't he?
I mean, he's. His England tenure was pretty disastrous, wasn't it? It was one campaign.
He didn't qualify, for Euros, wasn't it?
Oh, it was just a shambles, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was no good.
From day one, as well, he just decided Beckham was never going to play for England again.
Yeah.
Went down with the captaincy. I think him a year later.
You know, I think McLaren. He was a very good. He was a very good coach, and number two, I don't know if his career as a manager really is.
We won the league in Holland.
Yeah, he won the league in Holland. And his first season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was very good, yeah.
And then he went over to Germany, didn't he? Was it Wolfsburg, was it?
Yeah,
Wolfsburg, right.
Didn't really go to plan there. And then Forrest, I think, after that. I mean, Derby seems to sort of found
his... a disaster for him, isn't it? Forrest,
he thought he'd found his niche, and then just swept... pulled away from him, you know.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, but really, I'm quite surprised they didn't come up Derby this year. I
thought they were nailed on for at one point.
I think Newcastle, I just get the feeling their fans, they just want someone with some real personality.
They want Keegan.
What's Keegan up to?
You can hear something. We are
in Tottenham, so police helicopters are circling on a regular basis.
Yeah,
we're out in the garden again.
Yeah, it's nice.
Really
actually,
lovely day.
Although we never actually see the sun.
These are
plants. It would be a lovely day if it wasn't surrounded by the pants while you're washing.
Come on, it is bed sheets. And we've got pepper plants here, which need to be. They're actually. It's almost like a desert.
Yeah, you got to sort them out.
They're starting to die. So yeah. To water them.
They have more personality than Steve McLaren.
that's probably true.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. So next season, I'll be quite interested to see how Newcastle get on then with McLaren.
Anything could happen. There's about 12 teams that could either go down or be challenging for Europe. A couple of them.
West Ham and Newcastle seem to take it in turns to go from one disaster to the next. Like, so I'm hoping that it's their turn now for a little while. They go
maybe both together.
Shall we make a prediction, lads, and see what happens this time next year?
Newcastle. I think if McLaren goes there, I think they will be mid-table side.
I was going to say exactly that. I'd say mid-table and outside bet for maybe even pushing for Europe, because I think he'll steady the ship there.
Yeah.
And if the fans give him a bit of time, you know.
Yeah, they might give him two games. The thing is, not they're like Newcastle fans, though. If they start badly, he'll be hated, instantly hated. And it's very hard to turn it around.
Well, they've just got to get rid of that Mike Ashley, haven't they? He's got to go.
Unbelievable.
So there's a lot of ifs and buts and maybes and stuff, but I think if
Right, so we're joined again by Mike. Yeah. Mike,
honour, isn't it? Shrewd enough.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's all right, yeah.
Once you get over the...
So, we want to talk about something that's a little bit close to your heart, isn't it?
Well, it's not... I wouldn't go for it, it's close to my heart, but I just... I'm increasingly watching games...
But then again, they've got the amount of
incorrect offside decisions. But I'm going to go...
But the way the game is played, I'm just wondering...
Yeah, I reckon so.
The offside rule was created 100 years ago, something like that. And I'm wondering, what practice is used as a high
man? He's well experienced as well, and it just shows that...
Do we really even need any offside rule?
Wouldn't it be better if we'd none?
No, you've got to have... Some sort of. Well, I mean, I agree with you that it's just gone pear shaped. Yeah. But why not just go back to the old rules? When you're offside, you're offside. If you stay in offside position, whether you're interfering with play or not, you're off. You can't just not have one. Otherwise, you can have, you know, Sam Allardyce's West Ham or stick Andy Carroll on the goal kick for the entire game, sit back defending. As soon as they get it, just
well, I mean, it you see, but that's what kind of what I'm talking about. I mean, a team that's as sort of. Blinkered and with tunnel vision that's going to leave Andy Carroll in the penalty at Mary for the whole match while play is occurring down the other end of the pitch, they're going to lose. They're going to be outnumbered in around the rest of the park. So I just think practically, I mean, 100 years ago, that's what teams used to do. Football is much more sophisticated now. Nobody would be as idiotic as to deploy those tactics. So is it really any point of it anymore? I don't know.
Like, when you've got a bit of pace, though, it'd be actually got, if you're trying to mark someone like Walcott, if he can quickly go a few yards off on the side, you know, catching him is a bit basically impossible, wouldn't it?
But if you've got 9 outfield players or 10 outfield players to their 9 for most of the match because they've decided to leave a guy in the penalty spot in the other opposition box, you're not going to have more of the play. You're going to be outnumbered all over the park, and you're probably going to lose goals at the other end. It doesn't seem to me a tactic that anyone would logically use anymore. I mean, that's the usual argument made for it. Mike, what do you think?
I think it would change the game.
It would, yeah.
I think there'd be a teething period where everyone's working out what's the best tactics to deploy.
Yeah,
it'd actually be quite exciting. I think football as we know it would be a bit different. It would be very interesting to see how a game of football would pan out if we got rid of the offside rule. I think there'd be various different tactics getting tried out, and then be a lot of trial and error, trial and improvement going on.
Yeah.
I think it would totally change the way it's played. I think, if you put all your eggs in the basket of putting men up front, leaving them there, you are going to be left kind of short at the back. I think it'd become quite zonal, perhaps. Mm. I think you'd have the traditional position of a player would be, rather than in defence and in attack, I think people would just be looking after an area of the pitch more.
Yeah.
The whole pitch, when you don't have to worry about being onside anymore.
Don't you think that might make it a little bit, you know, chaotic, really?
Yeah. I think it'd be entertaining. I'm not too sure whether I'd go down the idea.
Obviously, you know, you still have to have one defender in the vicinity of that striker who's in the penalty area. But, I mean, like, first of all, you'd never have any incorrect offside decisions anymore, which is a bone of contention for so many people. And so many games have been ruined by a terribly bad offside decision, whether it's a goal that scored that shouldn't have been, or vice versa.
Raheem Sterling at Man City last season.
You know, I mean...
Nolan at Man United.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually more inclined to be annoyed about goals which are scored, which are subsequently shown to be not offside, because then the linesman has raised his flag for something that didn't happen.
Yeah,
whereas I can accept him missing it. I can accept him missing an offside decision,
but not, to call
not being sure, but to call an offside when it isn't offside, that's inexcusable in my opinion. You know, and I just think if you got rid of it, there'd be more goals. I mean, I know the statistics of football, it would be a slightly different game. But, you know, games evolve all the time, and we had the back pass rule 20 years ago, which changed the game and improved the game. You know,
for
100 years, you were able to pass the ball back to the goalkeeper, you were able to pick it up, and we thought, oh God, things would be so different. And it really wasn't that much different.
I'll tell you what, though, there'd be a lot more long balls. The game would be stretched.
It would be
longer balls.
It'd be trying to catch you out.
It would be a different game.
Yeah.
I think definitely the fact that you're getting decisions getting made incorrectly is down to the fact it's an impossible task.
Mm. Yeah,
there's no way one guy running down the line, and obviously there's one on either side, but it's just impossible to be able to call it every time, specifically because players are trained to time it just right.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking as well. It's an art, isn't it?
Yeah.
To beat the offside trap is actually an art. It's now gone one step
too far now, which is a shame, because a player who times his run perfectly is actually more likely to get called offside because of the human error involved.
And usually by the time once he's gone, if they've not read it, he usually looks offside because he's usually like 5-6 yards away.
Players having to curb his run and actually go, well, I could make this run even better, but I'm going to have to play on the idea that the decision might be called wrong, so yeah. I'll play it slightly safe. And when players and another, are having to do that, yes, then it's counterproductive.
Another aspect of that, Mike, is that linesmen, right, when it comes to making the decisions, they're much more likely, if they're in doubt, to actually flag. Because if the guy turns out that he was offside and they go on and score the goal, he isn't flagged, then that's big news and everyone says, oh, he was offside.
Yeah.
Whereas if they flag and they're the stop play and he doesn't get the chance to score, or the ball's in net, and it's kind of less talked about, really. I mean, it's one of those things that happens.
The goal is
actually marked down and scored, and it has a direct impact in the game because it's a goal that's been given in the match.
Mm.
It makes more headlines, and the linesman then gets more notoriety unwanted for making a wrong decision, you know. Mm.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I don't mean you can get rid of it, but it'd be nice if they could.
I mean, you said earlier you get a lot more long balls,
yeah.
But I mean, can you imagine Barcelona sticking a guy in the penalty area and just pumping the ball up to? I think the good teams
would
have
to do it.
Yeah.
The good teams will outplay the teams that are going to use.
It'd be interesting to see how teams would defend. You know, would you wouldn't leave yourself one on one with someone. You'd still have your back four, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on the edge of your own box. I mean, I don't know. I haven't thought about it enough what you'd actually do.
Would it be?
But I think it'd be a bit chaotic, like I said earlier. I think the game, like Mike said, would completely change. It wouldn't be the same game.
It could actually go a bit the way we were at school when we never had offside playing at lunchtime. Yeah. Where it's just a goal hanger.
Annoying goal hanger.
All just chasing the ball around.
Some kid just Harry does Enfield nothing, style. Standing right up at the other end, goal hanging, scoring 95 goals every lunchtime. Do you know what I mean?
It used to just be like a big buzz.
Yeah. Of children, both, yeah, just around.
Just following wherever the ball went.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
That would be a bit more like that, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
But I know you mean you want to get rid of these unjust decisions that happen.
I just think
so
video
often.
Replays, that's where that's got to come in. Yeah. It's got
it
to
is,
come
but
in.
Still, there is that, even on a replay, you can't quite tell. And
that's the thing, isn't it? We have a go at linesman, but then you can watch a replay 10, 15 times and still not
be
positive.
Yeah.
I think perhaps technology. I know a friend of mine was talking about putting a chip in
the ball's
boot and one in a ball.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
And you could, you know,
actually work out the lie where they are.
Yeah, you know. So play
that would be absolutely 100% foolproof, then, wouldn't it? You know.
Yeah, and the linesman would know.
Yeah, the top level surely they can do something.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
and people make the point as well. Oh, but you want the rules to apply all across the board. And, but
yeah.
I mean, the game is different. A Sunday League kickabout or a kids' football match
is
not the same as a Champions League.
More important, you know, Champions League game or World Cup.
So we've already made that step, haven't we? So
yeah. And you know, some people say about technology would ruin the game. I really can't see how it would. You know, in terms of. Because everyone said, you know, it's good to have referees' decisions sometimes get it wrong, but I don't think it's good having decisions going wrong.
No.
It's when you're on the receiving end of it.
It is part of the game that, you know, I mean, what would we talk about if it was just all...
Well, you just want to remove the shockers, don't you?
Yeah.
They've done
in
cricket and, you know, and tennis as well.
Yeah.
They've used technology to get rid of...
Do you remember that once when there was a goal when it was actually they didn't score, it went out for a corner or something, and he deemed
it
a goal.
Yeah, went to the side netting or something.
He hit the side netting and he went goal.
He thought there must have gone through a hole in the net and there wasn't a hole in the net. That was a bit dodgy. Maybe Sepp Blatter was involved, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you think about things like Lampard's header against Germany in 2010, which was a yard over the line.
30-yarder, not a header. It was 30-yarder.
The bar went bounced out.
Five years ago now.
England were useless anyway, but that might have completely turned that game. It would have been 2-all.
It would have been 2-all. Yeah.
They scored two goals in a minute before half time.
Yeah, exactly.
They always say the next goal is the most important one, and that could have been different, you know.
One he's just touched on there with the ball going out of play made me think of, you know, when you take a corner these days, if it goes out of play, it's a dead ball again. Why? Why do that? There's no real point. I mean, if you've got the skill to do it,
whip it in
and it drops down just,
you mean
know, just
and
the bar.
Why
can't they have it as a rule then? I was thinking that. Why can't that be quite an interesting rule to have? The ball can only be out of play once it's over the line on the ground.
Basketball
so you can actually curl
well,
the ball
technically,
in from a corner.
Technically, if a guy was a yard over the line, headed the ball away...
So, so
suppose you defend a corner and your defender's a yard behind the goal line.
Yeah.
The ball goes... in, he heads it back. It hasn't touched the ground, so it wouldn't be a goal.
No, no. So, I'm saying, so yeah. So hang on. So you take the corner. The goal's there. I'm trying to work it out. So you swing. It swings out off the pitch and then comes back on.
So you're saying it should still be
only when it hits the ground. If it hits and it lands.
Yeah, but
off the
my
pitch,
point is,
off.
If you're going to have the consistency with the ball having to touch the ground, then suppose that corner comes in, a guy heads it in, defender is a yard over the line, heads it back.
Oh yeah, no.
But it hasn't touched the ground, so it wouldn't be golden. You know.
Yeah, that's that basketball side of it. But I think definitely, as long as nobody's touching the ball. Out of play moment.
Yeah.
Then definitely, yeah.
That'd be quite interesting. Mm. You know, on the wings as well, like bend it round so you can. That'd be quite interesting.
But I don't think we get many sleepless nights over this. I think
go back to the old rules. You know, of about 10 years ago, before they started messing around with it. It's probably a long time before that, actually.
Yeah.
If you're standing offside, you're offside, and that's it. When the ball's hit, simple, done.
Mm.
It is a lot simpler. I mean, they tried to introduce that rule to sort of make things better, but they made it a lot messier, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, no one knows. No one understands it.
As regards getting rid of offside altogether, I mean, the one overnight problem you'd solve would be you would eliminate any confusion whatsoever. You'd never get a wrong decision anymore. But as you say, the game could change very dramatically. Although then again, I doubt that it really would, to be honest. But, you know, who knows? But anyway, it's been interesting talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, that's it. Well, thanks for listening. And, we'll be back again next week, I suppose, won't we?
Cool.
All right, cheers. Thanks, Mike.
Ciao.
Yeah.